right. Thanks for listening in. This is our last edition of Foot Washing. I'm going to call today's little ditty Farming Wounds. The last part of those Zechariah verses. He, the prophet, will say, I am not a prophet. I am a farmer. When asked about the wounds on his body, he will answer, these wounds I was given at the house of my friends. St. Paul says this about such wounds, I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, the church. Colossians 1:24. During a lush time of renewal at the Vineyard Anaheim in the late 90s, John Wimber made sense of the increase of prophecy and other spiritual gifts that we were all experiencing together. And I quote, God is filling up our lake so that we might direct the waters towards the poor and needy, targets, desert areas that we can irrigate and help make fruitful communities. He was speaking as a church planter there. In other words, beware of self-serving gifts. The water isn't rising for us to splash around and just satisfy ourselves in. Mobilize to reach the lost and the least. That's the meaning of the water. I heard what Wimber was saying, and I thought of Isaiah 41, verses 17 through 20. I'm just reading parts of it. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. God gifted us with supercharged living water. Our task was to work hard and to dig strategic ditches that will carry life-giving nutrients to those perishing without them. We at Desert Stream were well poised to pick up our shovels. It was hard labor, but U.S. cities and nations around the globe beckoned. We dug waterways to release merciful streams in their direction. Jesus entrusted to us this marvel of love and labor as foreshadowed by Elisha, who prophesied, make the valley full of ditches. You will see neither wind nor rain, yet the valley will be filled with water. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. 2 Kings 3, verses 17 and 18. Amid our irrigation efforts, I recalled my childhood dream of becoming a farmer. That was actually my vocational dream as a child. Maybe in a weird way, I realized that dream as an adult. I rallied my fellows to dig ditches so that God's best could reach the least. We who were sourced in living water now live to release that water. No prophet me, just faith and gifts of the Spirit, including prophecy, to release captives. We who are prophetically inclined need goals beyond ourselves where we can direct our gifts. And we need the wounding we receive in our efforts to keep us humble and human, reliant upon others and upon Healer Jesus to keep us on track to water this awakening land. Zechariah addresses these farm wounds when he points out the hurts incurred by friends, fellow members, who tell us the truth pointedly enough to puncture us. With friends like these, who needs enemies? We must ask for Jesus' heart towards the faithful who appear to oppose us, but who in truth do us the favor of refining us and our efforts. They invite us to descend deeper into mercy for our own gaps and the new gashes these friends incur in us. Some farm wound, some form wounds pierce our presumption. I recall early on believers who wisely reflected that I was in no way ready to take on the giants of converting the whole gay community. Why don't you start by coming consistently to this Bible study? Or stop mouthing off so much, like you know more than you do? Or overcoming pornography? That would be a better beginning. How blessed are we who bear farm wounds that burn off our baby fat. Others reveal our weak leadership, even when the judge is an immature disciple whose critique is more wine than wisdom. Jesus is still speaking through asses, and we can train ourselves to listen for truth, even amid other people transferring a bunch of stuff onto us. Other farm wounds are from power brokers who just don't like us. Maybe their wounds mirror ours. Their deferred hope morphs into cynical unbelief and tempts them to smash our hopeful reflection. I've experienced this more than a few times in my Catholic world. This is sourced in compromised leaders who believe my hope is a danger to the faithful who can't or won't change. For them, I become an enemy of the house of God. We who suffer rejection can quietly bear opposition so that even friendly fire deepens love in us. Persecution for what is right, not our poor leadership or presumption, unites us with the one forsaken at Calvary. He has unique authority to sustain us when friends betray us. Remember David, who in grief over Absalom's betrayal of him received insult for injury by Shimei, who cursed him mercilessly. "Let him curse," said David to a defender. "It may be that the Lord will see my distress and repay me with good for the cursing I'm receiving today." 2 Samuel 16, verses 11 and 12. Or St. John of the Cross, whose reforms incurred a host of rejections from his overseers. He persistently forbade his friends who sought to rectify these injustices. And I quote, "Do not let what is happening to me cause you any grief, for it does not cause me any. Men do not do these things, but God, who knows what suits us and arranges things for our good. God so acts with us, for he loves us, so that we might love with the very love he bears towards us." St. Paul, when pierced by the church at Corinth, declared that Jesus had transformed his affliction into a wellspring of pure compassion for them. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7. Might we who dig ditches for living water to flow to the least in our parched communities be like the apostle? Only Jesus turns affliction into anointing. May we who irrigate the land, farmers who welcome the prophetic flow, allow every wound to further his way in us. We proceed humbled and maybe hurt, but never struck down. May we dare to believe that wounds we received in the house of friends work miracles. Jesus trusted the Father accordingly. From his wounds still flow the river of delights, the fountain of life. Psalm 36. Happy Holy Week and Easter to you.